I'm Marty Moscowen. Welcome to Ballot Talks on Radio Times. Some comments in the last week have revealed a gender and generational divide in the Democratic Party among supporters of the two presidential candidates, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Here's Gloria Steinem talking with Bill Maher on his show Real Time last Friday night.
Men tend to get more conservative because they gain power as they age, and women get more radical because they lose power as they age. So it's kind of not fair to measure most women by the standard of most men, because they're going to get more activist as they grow older. And when you're young, you're thinking, you know, where are the boys? The boys are with Bernie, or, you know.
Now, if I said that...
No.
Yeah, that's for Bernie, because that's where the boys are.
But it's not me. No, I wouldn't.
Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright spoke at a rally for Hillary Clinton and said this that rankled a lot of women who support Bernie Sanders.
We can tell our story about how we climb the ladder, and a lot of you younger women don't think you have to. It's been done. It's not done. And you have to help. Hillary Clinton will always be there for you. And just remember, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other.
On Sunday, Hillary Clinton addressed Albright's comments on Meet the Press.
Good grief, we're getting offended about everything these days. Honest to goodness, I mean, people can't say anything without offending somebody. It was a lighthearted but very pointed remark, which people can take however they choose.
Well, today on Ballot Talks and Radio Times, we want to explore the role that gender is playing among Democratic voters this presidential season. And we have two guests who have joined us by telephone. Bonnie Watson-Coleman is a U.S. Congresswoman representing New Jersey's 12th congressional district. That includes Princeton and Trenton. Previously, she served as a member of the New Jersey General Assembly. And Bonnie Watson-Coleman, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thank you for inviting me.
You're very welcome. Nice to have you with us. Also with us is Gloria Bromell Tinubu. She's an applied economist, a prominent Democrat in South Carolina. She served on the Atlanta City Council, also in the Georgia General Assembly, and won the Democratic primary for Congress in South Carolina, both in 2012 and in 2014. And Gloria Bromell Tinubu, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here with you.
Nice to have you with us. And Gloria, let me begin with you and just begin with those comments that we began the program with. I think everyone has heard them multiple times. Why were they so offensive to women who've been Bernie Sanders supporters?
Well, thank you for having this conversation around issues that affect women and all of us. I think that for someone like myself who's been very active in the women's movement and very concerned about issues facing women, for Gloria Steinem to put forth a concept that would be considered very sexist if it was made by a man was just very disturbing to many of us. We see Bernie as a person who has been consistently fighting the good fight, not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. He has 100% rating when it comes to issues affecting women. He's been a fighter for social justice for all people, irrespective of gender or race or sexual orientation. And we believe that he is someone who would stand for those things that we support and believe in. And we are bright enough and smart enough and strong enough to know when our interests are being put forth versus when it's not. And I can't think of a single thing other than Hillary Clinton's speech in China that she has done to put forth an agenda that is supportive of women and women's issues. So we are very excited about Bernie, and we stand behind him.
Well, I do want to get back to you, but let me get Bonnie Watson-Coleman in on the conversation. Just speak to what Gloria Bromell Tinubu just said about the fact that besides speaking in Beijing, what has Hillary Clinton done for women?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to even address this issue. You know, as a young college student, she went to South Carolina to look after issues that affected juveniles who were being incarcerated along with adults. that was an issue that women were concerned about because women are mothers. When she was even younger, she went to Alabama to look at issues regarding segregated education academies. As women, we're concerned about that because, again, we are mothers. And when Hillary Clinton went to Beijing and made the comment that women's rights are human rights and human rights are women's rights, that was a very courageous thing for her to do. And she has stood up either as the First Lady, as the U.S. Senator, and even as the Secretary of State, advancing those notions, expressing those ideals, and working hard to ensure that women were treated with dignity and respect and safety and security, and that they were given the opportunities to excel and to accomplish predicated upon their ability and not some artificial system that keeps women tamped down. And I think that the difference here between the Hillary Clinton and the Bernie Sanders is that she's got a proven record, years of accomplishment and years of involvement and engagement on the issues. And I am certain that the senator is committed to those issues, but his rhetoric is of late regarding support of those issues.
Bunny, just let me go back quickly, and then, Gloria, I'll get you back in on the conversation. When Madeleine Albright said, essentially, there's a special place, not essentially, she said there's a special place in hell for women that don't support other women, she seemed to be saying to women in this country, you must support Hillary Clinton. What do you say to that?
Well, you know what, In looking at this in retrospect, I understand her frustration because she thinks that this newer, younger generation thinks that women have already made it because of the tough fight that we've had to get to where we are today. And what she is saying, that you all don't get it. We've not arrived. We still have discrimination. We still have the glass ceiling. And sometimes when we speak passionately about things of that ilk that we believe in so much, it even happens in the African American community. You when you're speaking to the artificial barriers that have kept even African Americans down, when you're trying to connect with a generation that didn't live through that civil rights movement, you sometimes use some very expressive language. And so I think that simply was out of her sense of, come on, look at this closely. No, there still is a glass ceiling. We are still experiencing, Hillary Clinton still experiences the kind of gender discrimination a man would never, ever face as a candidate for the presidency. And I think that that was born out of that sense of frustration to that extent, the way the media is treating her, you know, the way some of the campaign tactics are being used against her.
Let me go back to you, Gloria Brumell-Tinubu, and I wonder if we're also talking about, or maybe specifically talking about, a generational divide, and the generation, the younger generation, as Bonnie was just describing, not experiencing perhaps some of the discrimination that Hillary Clinton and other boomers have experienced as they were coming up.
I think it goes beyond generational divide. I am 62, going on 63 this month. Many of the women here in South Carolina are, you know, baby boomer age, you know, cohorts, and they support Bernie Sanders and are not supporting Hillary Clinton. But let's talk about Hillary Clinton's record. Between 1986 and 1992, she served on Walmart's board. She did not fight for the women and the workers there who were being denied their opportunity to collectively bargain and join unions. They were being paid low wages to the point where they were having to go on to welfare. She didn't fight for those women and those women who had children and who were in poverty and didn't have an opportunity to take off time to take care of their kids, et cetera. When Bill Clinton ran for office in 1992, under his leadership, under the Clintons' leadership, and Hillary was in the room when a decision was made that they would no longer fight for women's issues because we were still trying to get the ERA passed, and they would no longer fight for black issues. In fact, they told the leaders who were head of the women's movement and the NAACP in South Carolina that, you know, we're not going to deal with your issues. Besides, you have no other place to go. We're going to be centrist in this campaign. That's how we're going to win. And he became more Republican than the Republicans when you look at the welfare reform and the crime bill.
He was the president. She was not the president back then.
Bonnie, hold on one second. She wants to take credit for the good things that happened while her husband was president, but she doesn't want to take credit for the bad things. If you're going to take credit for some things, you have to take it all.
Okay, and let me give Bonnie a chance to jump in. Go ahead.
Thanks. First of all, I think that it really is unfair to hold her responsible for her husband's presidency. I think that there are things that she's been very actively involved in, like health care, making sure that there's access to health care for all people. And when she took that to the Hill and she didn't succeed in that, she didn't walk away. She stayed there until she could get a children's health care program. Hillary Clinton has always been pro-woman. There is no question in anybody's mind that she is not pro-women. And to suggest that she's anything other than that is really doing not only her a disservice, but those who are supporting other candidates a disservice.
You want to
let's look at the record. Let's look at her Walmart record. Let's look at welfare reform.
Well, let's look at her record as a
well, hold on. Go ahead, Gloria.
We had an opportunity to hear you speak against Hillary Clinton, so give me an opportunity to speak to her significant contributions as a U.S. senator. She has spoken out and worked on pay equity issues, on access to health care, on access to paid sick leave. She has discussed those issues, the glass ceiling, the frustration of breaking through it, ever since I have known her, which is more than 15 years. You can't say that about Bernie Sanders. Now, Bernie Sanders may very well be there right now. He may very well be there right now, and I appreciate the fact that he's speaking to these issues. But we're talking about a candidate who has a record of accomplishment, who has a record of struggle, who's been knocked down, pushed down, shoved down, and disrespected, and still she rises about the issues that are important to the economy and the opportunities for all people, young people, old people, women, children. And so I don't think that it is fair, as we're having this discussion, to try to diminish or demean her position as it relates to that's something Republicans are doing to one another. And as Democrats, we shouldn't be doing that.
Well, hold on. Only because we have to take a very short break. And then, Gloria, I promise we will get back to you. And we are talking with Bonnie Watson Coleman. She is a U.S. Congresswoman. She represents New Jersey's 12th congressional district. That includes Princeton and Trenton here in our listening area. And she is a Hillary Clinton supporter. Also with us is Gloria Brumell Tinubu. And she is an economist, a prominent Democrat in South Carolina, a Bernie Sanders supporter. And we're talking about the divide between some of the supporters over Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. You can join the conversation. That phone number is 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. And you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And do stay with us. Much more after this short break. We'll be right back. I'm Marty Moscowen, and in this week's edition of Ballot Talks on Radio Times, we're exploring the role that gender is playing among Democratic voters in this year's presidential primary. Again, our guests are Bonnie Watson Coleman, Gloria Brumell Tinubu, and we got a lot of calls coming in at 1-888-477-9499. Gloria, let me quote something from the Daily Beast, and this was talking to a number of young people in New Hampshire. One of them saying, a 24-year-old saying, Hillary's confused about what feminism means. She thinks feminism just means female empowerment only. It means a lot more than that. Feminism is gender equality. I think she's trying to appeal to young women voters by shouting feminism in our faces. We are not one-track minded people. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yes, and it's one thing to say that you are in support of women's issues and issues that impact children, but it's a very different thing when the things that you support are counterproductive to women and to children. For example, she was an advocate, a really clear advocate for welfare reform, even when her best friend and one of her best friends and her first boss, Marion Wright Edelman, was against welfare reform as they had presented it, because it pushed more people into poverty. Most of them were women. It pushed a million children into poverty. It changed something that was in our laws from the time of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the cash payments. That had been there for 60 years. And under Clinton, and with his wife's support, they got rid of that and limited it to 5 years as lifetime support to people who are in poverty. Millions of people went into poverty as a result of that reform, and Hillary supported it. And for us to, she always asks us to look at her record, and when we do, then her supporters yell that we're demonizing her, that it's unfair for us to bring up, you know, the things that she supported and endorsed while her husband was president. She supported and endorsed that. And this is the other thing. When Lonnie Guinier, who was pegged to be the head of the Civil Rights Division, was put forward by President Clinton, and when the Republicans started calling her, quote, a queen, I didn't see Hillary fight for her. She didn't stand up and fight for her. In fact, they didn't even allow her to fight for herself. She was not given an opportunity to defend her writings and her scholarly papers in front of the public. She didn't fight for Jeanette Abetz Cole, who was my college president at Spelman College. They put her forth to be head of the Secretary of Education. As soon as the Republicans started talking about her, they abandoned her. They didn't fight for Jocelyn Elder. All of these are black women that Hillary Clinton never mumbled a single word in support of when they were put forth and when they were attacked by the Republicans.
Well,
Republicans. So don't say that, you know, we are demonizing her or we are diminishing her contribution. She has not stood up for women, particularly African-American women, when she had the opportunity.
Well, let me give you a chance to respond to that, Bonnie Watson Coleman. And I wonder whether, you know, going back to, and again, I'm focusing on this generational divide that I realize it doesn't describe all of what we're talking about. But I wonder with the women's movement, which was about things like equal pay and reproductive rights and representing the women's movement, whether that's something that Hillary Clinton represented as a younger person. But today, women's rights and equal rights are so much more than that.
Well, let me say that I think that Hillary Clinton's position with regard to women's rights and the fact that she even spoke to women's rights as being human rights, and that as she speaks to women's rights, she talks about our rights and our desires span the spectrum. We are interested in economic opportunity. We're interested in safe communities. We're interested in gun laws. We're interested in educational opportunities. We're interested in ensuring that our young women are safe and secure in their communities and as they aspire to move forward in their lives. Let me speak to just a couple of little things. Not little things. I'm sorry. I don't mean to diminish this conversation in any way, shape, or form. But I was aware of the activities with regard to the welfare reform. I was even aware very much as part of government of the sort of movement with the criminal justice reform. It was an interesting era, and there were very many black leaders who were supporting those efforts because one thing we wanted to, they wanted to identify opportunities for education, training, and jobs to get off of welfare and to recognize that it is supplemental and temporary. And it did to some extent, result in people moving from welfare into college and into jobs. And in other respects, it didn't do what it was supposed to accomplish. And the same thing with some of the criminal justice reform. Things that we're looking at now, we can look at in hindsight and say the movement that we tried to make that was considered to be progressive at that time is something that we need to look at in today's lens. The other thing is that with regard to women's rights, I think we all know that they are more than just reproductive rights. But organizations that stand up for women's rights, like Planned Parenthood, which is constantly under attack and will disappear if we have a Republican a president. NARAL and other women's rights organizations are supporting Hillary. And with regard to Hillary and collective bargaining, there are unions that are mounting up in support of her because they recognize that she recognizes the value of the union experience in ensuring that there's a strong middle class. And so I don't think, I think, first of all, we've got two candidates running for president. They're infinitely more qualified, able, than anybody on the Republican side. And so I always want to be careful to make sure that we're treating these candidates with the respect that they earn. But at the end of the day, we need someone who's been tried and tested and someone who has experience and someone who has been demonized by the Republican Party. 11 hours worth of Benghazi questions, and she stood strong. We need someone who can get elected and who can continue on the progress that the Obama administration has brought to this country. And she's the one that best understands that domestically as well as foreign policy wise. And that's why I support her. And that's why I hope that young people will look at her candidacy, not just as Hillary Clinton, the former first lady of Bill Clinton, but the things that she stands for and the things that she's articulating and her comprehensive substantive knowledge of how to get things done, not to leap into utopia, but to actually get things done that'll move the needle forward in a positive way for us.
Gloria, one of the things that Hillary Clinton said is, I can't imagine anyone being more of an outsider than the first woman president. True? Not true?
Absolutely not. I mean, look at the years that the Clintons have been a part of the establishment. I mean, the Clintons are the ones who took our party into the center and became more Republican than the Republicans. The Republicans were even alarmed at the welfare reform bill and the draconian measures that were put in place, and that disproportionately harmed and penalized African Americans more than non-African Americans. They were even surprised at the crime bill, where when the sentencing commission recommended that they equalize crack cocaine and powder cocaine, most of the Democrats, including Bernie Sanders, voted in support of that, of making that a fair sentencing. And the Clinton administration voted with the Republicans and voted that down. So, if you want us to look at the facts, let's look at the facts. You know, Clinton and Mrs. Clinton, in partnership with the Republicans, took the Democratic Party down a path that has hurt us in numerous ways, from repealing Glass-Steagall, making it possible for these companies to also merge and, becoming bigger and bigger and becoming too big to fail and going into all of these kinds of financial arrangements that really resulted in the crash that we saw, the Great Recession. So clearly, you know, we've got to look and analyze the record and speak to the facts, and this is not personal for us, and that's what a lot of women are looking at, young and old. They're looking at the record. You can tell me you're going to do X, Y, and Z, but I'm going to look at what you've done in the past, and if what you've done isn't consistent with what I think is important, it's important to me, then I have a right not to support you, whether you are a woman or not. And that's where most women stand. They've looked at the record, what she's said, what she's supported, what she's endorsed as first lady, what she's done, you know, in her adult life, and the fact that she continues to talk about her record with the Children's Defense Fund as if that's a contemporary record. And even when, you know, when Marion Wright Edelman was against the welfare reform bill, she didn't defend Marion Wright Edelman.
I got to jump in here, Gloria. I want to give Bonnie a chance to respond, and we got a lot of people that want to join the conversation. Did you want to add something?
First of all, as a U.S. senator, as a U.S. senator, she was very actively engaged in discussing the problems with Wall Street and what they should expect. And if she were so beloved by the establishment, then the Koch brothers and all these other organizations wouldn't be spending so much money to diminish her candidacy. So let us not paint her as the darling of Wall Street or any other mega bank or other institutions. She's been talking about access to mortgages, access to economic development, access to capital for middle-class people. She's been talking about closing loopholes, and she's been talking about corporations being responsible to this country and to the people that work here. In addition, you know, we talk about Hillary Clinton's record as opposed to a record of accomplishment experience, as opposed to the Sanders campaign talking about his experience and accomplishments, because other than what we've seen in Congress in terms of voting the right way, with the exception of perhaps the very important gun issues, we don't have a record of experience.
Seriously?
And accomplishment from
Bernie
him.
Sanders has
Seriously.
Been mayor.
Hold on.
I think that, you know, yeah, he definitely has been there. He's been there in the U.S. Senate and Congress as a number of these issues have been. And so he's been able to cast his vote. But where has his leadership been? You Google Bernie Sanders and you don't get one comment pro-woman, pro-civil rights, pro-African-American.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, hold on. I think we're talking about two very accomplished people who have some disagreements on some issues, and I think some other issues
Their disagreements are nuanced. And I think that the issue that really confronts us is who can get elected and who can carry out the accomplishments of the Barack Obama administration. Do we believe that this country has been moving in the right direction, and who will take it there? And the other question
Let me give
not dealing with is the issue of foreign policy.
Fair enough. Hold
who
on.
Who has the capacity and knowledge and depth of experience in dealing with these multinational issues that are confronting us and could potentially represent danger and harm to us?
Go ahead, Gloria. I know you want to add something.
Well, you know, speaking on foreign issues, on one of the most critical issues in terms of that has impacted this country and the world, Hillary Clinton's vote in favor of the Iraq war was one of the most important votes that she cast as a member of the Senate. And Senator Sanders voted against it. So experience is one thing, but judgment is another thing. But let's talk about, she mentioned there was no history or record of Bernie Sanders in terms of the civil rights movement. In the 1960s, Bernie Sanders was a member of CORE, the Congress on Racial Equality. He marched on Washington while Hillary Clinton was supporting Barry Goldwater for president, who was against the Voting Rights Act. So if you want to go back to the 60s, we can go back to the 1960s. He demonstrated against the segregated housing at the University of Chicago and was put in jail for that. That's Bernie Sanders' record going back to the 60s. On the other end, Hillary Clinton became a Goldwater girl and campaigned for Goldwater, who was against the Voting Rights Act. So if you want to take it back there, we can go back there. That's why I'm saying it's not just talk that we need to be concerned about. It's action. What you've done. What you've demonstrated.
And you know what?
And Gloria, let me just ask you a quick question. Do you think Hillary Clinton is anti-woman?
I'm not saying that she's anti-woman, but I have not seen anything that she has done that was that she had to take a stand that was a difficult stand to take, that really said that she was a fighter for women. Like with the ERA piece, you know, it would have been wonderful if she had stood up to the Democrats in 1992 and said, no, we're not going to put women's issues on the sideline. We're going to continue to fight for get those additional three states that we need to pass the Equal Rights Amendment. She didn't do that.
All right, let me give Bonnie
well,
Watson a comment.
We should ask the same question. Do we consider name the issues that Bernie Sanders has stood up with and struggled with as it relates to women's issues? What makes him more pro women than the woman candidate? That's that's kind of like hard
but,
to grasp.
But he's not
but, you know,
saying.
Hold on, hold Gloria. Hold on.
Is the one who's saying,
Gloria, hold on.
Me because I'm a woman.
Gloria, hold on. Go ahead, Bonnie.
You know, I for one thing, my position with regard to Hillary Clinton being the probably the person who is most ready to take on this responsibility just happens to be that she is a woman. Just like Barack Obama just happened to be an African-American man. But I want to talk about two things. One is I want to talk about this notion of establishment. I am an African-American woman who's been engaged in government and at the appointed level and at the elected level. And every time I move from one thing to another, I had to fight the establishment to establish that I am ready, willing, and able. Does that make me establishment? She has the same experience that I had on a bigger level. You can't be a minority against the majority and be considered the establishment. If she were the establishment, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now, and there would not be this kind of demonizing of her and trying to make her be something that she couldn't possibly be by virtue of her gender. We've never had a woman president. That makes it not the establishment right there, right there. And then I want to just say one other thing, and this, I think, is probably a race issue more than a gender issue. But she has relationships, long-term relationships, with African-American communities, African-American leaders, African-American elected officials, even the members of the African-American Black, the Congressional Black Caucus. This caucus overwhelmingly endorsed her candidacy, not because she's a woman, but because they have a relationship with her and they know what she's tried to do. They know what she can accomplish, and they know that she's the one that's electable. And at the end of the day, with the Supreme Court hanging out here in the balance and some other really important issues, we need a candidate that can stand the test of time in this campaign against what's going to be a nasty campaign. And she's the only one that's had the experience standing up against these Republicans, and she's the only one that can really bring it home for us.
Well, we have to take a very short break. And again, we've got a lot of people that want to join the conversation. I do want to get them in on the conversation after the short break. That's Bonnie Watson Coleman. She's a congresswoman representing New Jersey's 12th congressional district, and she is a Hillary Clinton supporter. Gloria Bramell Tinubu is an applied economist, a prominent Democrat in South Carolina, and she is a supporter of Bernie Sanders. 1-888-477-9499. Much more after this short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is Ballot Talks on Radio Times. I'm Marty Moscoen, talking with Gloria Bramell Tinubu and Bonnie Watson Coleman about how women feel about the Democratic candidates running for president. Of course, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. Let me just read some comments here, and then I do want to get to some callers just so our listeners know what's been happening offline here. Facebook comment from James. Albright's comments were obviously tongue-in-cheek. A tweet from Rachel. This comment really bothered me. A Facebook comment from Chris, dismissing my support of Bernie Sanders by saying I'm going where the boys are, or chastising me for not voting for Clinton just because she's a woman, is just misogynistic. A Facebook comment from Victoria. Full disclosure, I'm voting for Bernie Sanders. I'm 65 years old. However, I vividly remember the 50s, 60s, and 70s. These women have walked through the gates of hell and have seen the things that young Bernie Sanders supporters would find amazing. Let me get Janine to join us from New Hope, Pennsylvania. Janine, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Marty.
Hi there.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I have a question for both women. I think it's an excellent discussion. And
thank
to tell you the truth, I think we have two excellent candidates on the Democratic side this year. So I want to start by saying that. But I clearly remember in some of Hillary's town hall meetings and debates, she's the only one who proactively has been talking about Supreme Court nominees. And the next president, no matter who it is going to probably be nominating at least two, maybe three Supreme Court nominees. Now, if ever there was a woman's issue, I think it lies with the Supreme Court, because they're always trying to overturn Roe v. Wade. And I think that to protect a woman's right to choose, especially the young women in our country, this is something that Hillary has emphasized. And I think it's very important to talk about that, and I hope Hillary brings it up more, because she was very good about bringing it up during the town hall meetings.
Janine,
thank you.
Sure. Thanks for the call to Radio Times. Gloria, you want to weigh in on that?
Yes, and it's clearly something that Bernie has always supported as well. And that on that issue, I think that the candidates are certainly both on the same page.
How about for you, Bonnie? You want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, I think we all recognize how serious this issue is with the Supreme Court and the next presidency. And I would expect both candidates to be looking to preserve and protect those rights of women that have already made their way through the various courts. However, I think that when we talk about the candidate who in the presidency who will make these things happen and get these things happening, experience and relationships are very important. And I believe that that's another illustration that Hillary has those things on her mind before they're even brought to her. And that's looking at our needs broadly and divining a plan, devising the plan to get us there.
I wonder, and this is to both of you, Gloria, I'll start with you, and whoever wins the nomination, whether it's Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton, I guess the question is, for those people who are ardent supporters of the losing candidate, will they support the one who does finally get the delegates to be the Democratic candidate for president? Do you think people can come together, Gloria, no matter who it is?
Mm-hmm. Most definitely, we'll come together as a party. I mean, that's what we do, and we both agree that our two candidates are far better than anything the Republicans have to offer, and there's no question in my mind that those of us who support Bernie will support Hillary if she's selected as a nominee. However, we expect Bernie to be selected.
Bonnie, your thoughts?
Absolutely. I think I'm 100% accord with Gloria. We have the best candidates. This country is at a very important juncture. There's a lot of hate mongering going around. We could be taken into a very dangerous position, both domestically and as far as foreign affairs are concerned, with a Republican in the office. And I am certain that whoever wins this nomination, he will bring all of his support to the winning nominee, who will be Hillary Clinton. Just jostling Gloria.
I hear you.
But seriously, we are Democrats. We recognize that we are different than Republicans. We have a different vision for America, for all Americans, from women to children, to the elderly, to the immigrants, to the people of color. And we have to protect those rights and those accomplishments and those opportunities, and only Democrats are going to do that.
Let me see what Jim from Pittman, New Jersey has to say. Jim, go ahead, and then Gloria will get you back in. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Marty.
Hi there.
A couple of minutes ago, your guest in support of Hillary Clinton made the statement that by very virtue of her gender, she could not be an establishment candidate. So I wanted to ask, is the logical extension of that is that no female candidate could be establishment. So would that apply to Carly Fiorina or someone even with more egregiously, not egregiously conservative, but more conservative policies? And I know that's an extreme example, but once you could admit that one person could be, that argument sort of falls apart, and it just comes back down to discussing policy and not gender in terms of establishment. That's it, all. I'll take my answer.
No, it's a fair question. I know that was to you, Bonnie, but let me give Gloria a chance to jump in on that. Gloria, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that the notion of establishment in the context that Bernie used it is the, you know, the power brokers, the folks who have been wielding power within our you know, political systems and within the party. You cannot say that the Clintons are not a power broker. I mean, they are. I mean, when I ran for Congress in 2012, I ran against someone who had the support of the Clintons. And when I won the nomination as an African-American woman, the party pulled the financial support that they were going to put into the 7th District because I wasn't, you know, the candidate that had gotten, you know, the support from, you know, Bill Clinton. So, it's establishment when you have that kind of power. And that's what we're talking about. We're not just talking about just anybody running for president. We're talking about Hillary Clinton.
Well, I wonder, Bonnie, whether Hillary Clinton has some additional baggage because her last name is Clinton.
Well, even my your co-guest here, my esteemed quote-unquote opponent in this, can't seem to separate Hillary from her husband. And I think that that's unfair. Mm-hmm. And if we were listening to men having this conversation, we would probably say that they were sexist. But with regard to this notion of establishment, and even by her definition of establishment is someone who's been part of the power wielding, well, as one of 100 in the United States of America, Bernie Sanders would be classified as part of the establishment. As a leader and a chairman of a very important committee, he would indeed be part of the establishment. My discussion with regard to the establishment issue is that when I think of the establishment, I think of just the old boys network. And by definition, I am not part of that establishment as a woman or as an African American. And as a woman, I don't think that Hillary Clinton represents the establishment, which is why I think the establishment is working very hard to cast such negative impressions about her and about her candidacy.
Let me read some more comments here. And this is a tweet from Dee. I want to see a Clinton-Sanders ticket in November. I don't care who's at the top. A tweet from Peter. People who get things done tend to have dirty hands. Bernie has clean hands. What has he actually done? A Facebook comment from Chrissy. As happy as I am to have the opportunity to vote for a female candidate in the primaries in 08, I voted for Barack Obama because he was the best person for the job. I like a lot of Bernie's ideas, but this year I plan to vote for Hillary because she has earned my vote. And we have some pros and cons really going back and forth. I just don't want any more dynasty president. Sorry, a hashtag sorry, Hillary. Let me get Maria from Reading to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Maria. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I commute right now to classes. So I've been listening to a lot of political conversations about the candidates, and I must say that this is the best one I've listened to so far.
Oh, terrific. Thank you.
So I want to just applaud Gloria for thank you for countering all the points with details and actual facts and dates, because that's very important. You know, so I wanted to speak on the first earlier comment of the younger voters and how we don't understand the struggles of our mothers. And I think that is one of the reasons why Hillary is not getting the vote from the younger population like myself, because you know, how dare you tell us we don't understand? If you were with us and talking to us, you would know that we live it every day and we understand, because we are still living that struggle, it being inequality in payment, it being just struggling, trying to pay our loans back and trying to raise a family. But I wanted to, you know, and say that as that comment. And I also wanted to say,
you know what, Maria, only because we got so many people in and you raised such an important question, I want to give actually Bonnie Watson-Coleman a chance to respond to that. And Maria is saying, look, I'm a younger voter. I understand the struggle. Don't talk down to me.
Well, first of all, let me apologize if I offended anyone in that thinking that I was talking down to them, because when I said that the younger generation hasn't experienced the civil rights movement in the way that we have, I was just speaking in terms of chronologically and the recognizing when the battle was even at a more fundamental level. So, of course, we still have issues of pay equity. We have issues of women's equal pay for equal work. We have issues with paid sick leave and things of that nature. And she has spoken to those issues proactively, not in response to anyone's question, not as an afterthought, but, you know, it's just part of who she is and part of what she believes and what she would bring to the presidency. You know, I am pleased that we have two very distinguished candidates who are offering themselves as presidential candidates. And I know that we can be sure that we will be recognized as women, as minorities, as equals, and opportunities will be made available to us, unlike any Republican would ever think to do. But at the end of the day, I'm also concerned about electability. And with the exception of this election, Senator Sanders wasn't even recognized as a Democrat. He was an independent, and now he is a Democrat. And he was undistinguishable in his actions, but maybe his voting has been good. So you know what? At the end of the day, we've got to pick a candidate that I believe is most electable and the Congressional Black Caucus that represents the conscience of this country and this Congress, not just for African Americans, but for all people who've been discriminated against, have overwhelmingly come together in support of Hillary Clinton's presidency. I think that counts for something. I don't think that diminishes anybody else's support of any other candidate.
Go ahead, Gloria, and then I do want to get a
response to
this. Yeah, please go ahead.
To show you how politics works in this country, right now in Congress, there's a House bill, H.R. 676. That's a bill calling for Medicare for all. And it's signed by at least 60 members of the Congressional Black Caucus. It also includes about 60 members of the Progressive Caucus. And all of these folks are now, you know, saying that they support Hillary. I mean, a lot of them are. But this is the exact thing that Bernie is calling for, Medicare for all. So you see this, you know, politics is an interesting thing. Even though these folks say they support Medicare for all and their names are on H.R. 676, they're not publicly saying that they're supporting and endorsing Bernie's call for Medicare for all. They're saying, oh, that's unachievable. That's pie in the sky. This is what I'm talking about. Politics is an interesting thing, and Bernie is cutting through a lot of that. And just because folks are endorsing Hillary, I really don't know what that means.
Okay.
To me, it just sounds
May I respond to
you
that?
You may, Bonnie. Go ahead.
That's a very important – this issue of health care and this issue of free health care, free college education, free this, free that, you know, free everything.
It's not free healthcare, by the way.
Bernie Sanders is offering is truly aspirational, but it is also pie in the sky. The one thing we know about Hillary, the one thing we know about even Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all of those things were born out of problems and gaps. Every one of those things were created. They were never created perfectly. But to dismantle and to start over again will create a dialogue in this country which will set us back for decades. Now, under this Affordable Care Act, under the progress that we've made thus far, we have more African Americans, more women, and more poor people signed up for health care than ever before. We have much more to do, but we need to be pragmatic and realistic about how we move in the right direction and not lose ground. And that is something that the Bernie Sanders campaign doesn't understand.
Well, Gloria, go ahead. About a minute. Hold on. About a minute before we have to say goodbye. Go ahead, Gloria.
But my point is, right now, a year ago, and the bill is still in the House, 60 members of the Congressional Black Caucus, it was introduced by John Conyers, plus 60 other members, 60 members of the Progressive Caucus. Congressman Coleman, your name may be on there. I don't know. Were you a co-sponsor on the Medicare for All bill?
Yes. We all were because
you were
the direction that we would like to ultimately get.
So this is
you know what?
This is hypocrisy.
In this Congress, we have a responsibility to advance progressive ideas.
I got to jump in here. I hate to do it, but when you're talking over each other, no one can hear, and the clock is telling me we're out of time.
I apologize.
No. I appreciate the passions.
We
shouldn't talk over one another. And Bonnie Watson Coleman, thank you so much for joining us today in Radio Times.
Thank you. I appreciated the opportunity to speak on behalf of the candidate I know who can become elected and be a great president.
And that's Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman representing New Jersey's 12th District. Gloria Bramell Tinubu, thank you very much as well.
Thank you for having me, and I look forward to us continue to have this conversation about who's the best candidate for this country. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. She's an applied economist, a well-known Democrat in South Carolina, and I should add there is a debate tonight between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. Go to whyy.org/Radio Times. You can find out much more about the program. I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Thanks for joining us in this first hour of Radio Times, and do stay with us much more after this very short break. In fact, we'll be right back.